next paper is being given by Jay Liu from the Mayo Clinic. It's on limited diffraction beams for principles and potential applications.
Limited diffraction beams have very large depth of field, and they may have applications in many areas. Today I'm going to talk about the concept of these beams and their potential applications. Here's the organization of my talk. Limited diffraction beams is come from originally developed beam. It's called a localized wave, which was invented first in 1983 by Brickingham. And this beam have a large depth of field. And later, Zolkowski in 1985 have further developed the concept of localized wave and have developed more localized wave. Independent of Brickingham and Zolkowski's work, in 1987, Durling have developed the first limited diffraction beam. It's called a Bessel beam. And later in 1989, we begin to further develop the concept of limited diffraction beams and develop more these kinds of beams. This includes the X waves and other U beams. In order to understand the concept of limited diffraction beams, I'm going to introduce how the conventional focused beam looks like. For conventional focused beam, it has a short depth of field. This is a drawing of the conventional focused Gaussian beam. They have a Gaussian apertization and the focus at the one depth, and the beam have small widths at the focus, other focus, the beam spread, which have impact in image resolution. That means have lower resolution out of focus. This is what we measured in water, that in 200 millimeter depths and with 50 millimeter actual transducer at a 2.5 megahertz. This is advertised with Gaussian function, and you can see it only have a very short depth of field. Now I'm going to introduce what's limited diffraction beams. From the wave equation, the homogeneous isotropic medium is presented by this equation. And the phi here is the function which represents the wave in the space and the time. And the c here is the speed of sound or speed of light. This is the axis representing the equation. Here is x, y, and z, and phi is a spatial point which represents the acoustic or electromagnetic field at this point and at time t. Now this is the solution, one of the solutions to the wave equation. If the solution can be written as phi equal to phi x y z minus c1 t, we said this kind of solution is limited diffraction solution. With this, we can see here c1 is the phase velocity, and it's real. And this term z minus c1t is a propagation term. Why we say that? Because if we keep this equal to constant, that means z and t either increase or decrease simultaneously. One will see this phi is not a function of z and t explicitly. And therefore, it's only a function of x and y. So when you can travel with the wave, which means z and t equal, equally increase, and you will see an unchanged wave pattern. which that's why we call it limited attraction beam, because it keeps the same beam pattern until the infinity from the principle of the wave equation. Now, the question is how we produce this type of beams. We can produce this type of beam by assuming that we first produce it at a distance z equal to zero where the transducer located. And by inserting z equal to zero, this is the function of x, y, and t. And according to the Huygens principle, if you can produce the beam at z equal to zero, it will reconstruct after z, when z increases, that is z greater than zero. Here's the examples. One example is called a rotary symmetric vessel beam. It's represented by this equation and x-ray. And in this equation, you can see it is, no matter how complex it is a function of z minus c1t, the z minus c1t. And here r is just the radial distance. So when you have when you produce the beam at this surface z equal to zero, it will reconstruct itself because these waves satisfy the wave equation. Now we want to practically produce this beam. To produce this beam practically, we must limit our aperture size because these solutions give a requirement of infinite aperture to produce these beams. And then we also need to stepwise the aperture weighting because if you want to do the continuous aperture weighting on any transducer will be difficult. That means you have to hold the transducer with a continuous function. If we can do that with array, then we can we have to do it by stepwise aperture weighting. And this is an example of the annular array, and we can see how the vessel beam is produced with the finite aperture annular array. Theoretically, you get to have the exact vessel function weighting on this transducer, but practically, you can do like this. You can weight the transducer each element with one loop of the vessel function and to produce the vessel beam approximately. And here's the x-ray aperture weight is more complex. Each element you have to not only weight with different amplitude but also with different time functions. And here's the transducer made, we designed 10 element annular array and made by echo ultrasound. We use this transducer to produce the both vessel beam and the x-ray. Here's the structure we designed, and here's 10 annular element, annular electrode on the back side of the transducer, and this is the front electrode of the annular array. And here's the cross-section view of the transducer. It's a sandwich type with active PCT ceramic polymer composites on the center and a backing and a front matching materials. We have some results of these beams produced by this transducer. Here's the vessel beam produced at a distance 100 millimeters. Here's Z over D is F number. The D is 50 millimeter diameter, and the transducer center frequency is 2.5 hertz. So with the central element excited, and we get this beam at this depth. And with two elements excited, we can see the beam starting to construct. And then with more and more elements, until the 10 elements are excited simultaneously, we can see, we get a nice vessel beam. Here is the pulse wave case. And here's the CW case. For CW case, you can see the same thing with the first central element excited and a central two element excited. And it gradually increases the number of elements. You will deconstruct a pencil beam. Here's the X-ray. We can do the same thing. So it's increasing number of elements excited. Then we can construct an X-ray at a depth of V over D equal to 3.4. That's about 170 millimeters away from the surface of the transducer. And this is the X-ray at the two depths. We can see the large depth of field because this is at Z equal to 170 millimeter and 340 millimeter. You can see the beam down the spread dramatically over this large distance. So we call it has large depth of field. And about two panels represent the result of our simulation. And the bottom two is what we measured in water. Now, since limited diffraction beams have a large depth of field, it could have many potential applications. These are a few applications we outline here, like medical imaging and etc. Also, we can see we have phantom, which is RMI-4138, tissue equivalent phantom. And this phantom have many wires inside. And we scan our transducer, that transducer we have shown earlier, on top of the phantom, do linear scan from left to right, and get the image with vessel beam. You can see it has a large depth of field. And we put a lens in front of our transducer, the same transducer, but weighted with a Gaussian function. We can see this beam will have a nice focus along its focal depths. But out of focus, the image degraded dramatically. Here's an example of application for tissue characterization. We put a sample, a liver sample, at a different depths away from the surface of the transducer. And weighted the transducer with either vessel beam, a vessel function, or focused the Gaussian function. We measure the backscattering coefficients to see how it changes with depth. And when we move the same region of interest away from the transducer, we can see with vessel beam, with the limited diffraction beam, get a more consistent estimation as we expected. And for the RMI-413 phantom, we do the same thing, get a similar result. Another application could be a non-destructive evaluation. And we have a steel, a 303 stainless steel block. We drill holes, the holes from bigger to small, there's many holes, and through the block. And we scan on top of the steel block and to get a cross-section image. And here's what we get. And this is almost, it's very close to the surface of transducer. Here, F here D over D is 0.6, it's about 20, 30 millimeters away from the surface of transducer. And here is 1, here is 50, and increasing until over 200 millimeters away from the surface of the transducer. We can see the consistent images of this steel block. And we use the same steel block, but we weight our transducer with focused Gaussian function. And we do the same thing, just put this steel block at different distance away from the surface of the transducer. And we can see image can will get good image at focus because the steel have a very different steel sound from water, so it's changed the focus of originary focus of the transducer, and point very close to the surface of translucent. And you can see only get a good image around this focus. And out, away from the focus, the image starts to blur. Another application might be abdominal velocity measurement. if we have a pointer scatterer moving in this direction, and if we use a vessel transducer to transmit and receive, what we get will be a shift of the spectrum of the received signal will have a shift of central frequency that corresponding to the actual component of the velocity. And we also get the spectrum widening, which is caused by the transverse component of the velocity. This is what we were expecting. And this spectrum is gathered from if the transducer is focused and it's piston transducer with just it's non-weighted transducer. And you will get a spectrum like this, a triangular, and with the central frequency moved to the Doppler frequency FB, and plus the bandwidth FB. And with the vessel beam, you will get this kind of spectrum. And it indicated have a distinct shoulder at the boundary of the spectrum. From this spectrum with bandwidth of the spectrum and the Doppler center frequency, we can get the estimate this angle of theta. So we can estimate the velocity vectors more accurately than the conventional focus the transducer, because usually system have a high noise. This point is hard to determine in conventional focus beam. Another application might be the speed of sound imaging. We will be able to produce a new type of limited diffraction beams, which is composed of many layers. And we got these beams from the solution of the wave equation. here is a commercial linear array, and it will produce a pulse, focus the pulse propagating down in this direction, and scan in this direction. And then we can weight this transducer and then get an output. And from the output, we will be able to tell the time difference as the pulse propagate to each layer. And because the distance of the layer is fixed, independent of the depth of depths, because this beam have a large depth of field, the depth, the distance is the same within the large depth of field. So we can use the distance and the time spent between the pulse propagated from one layer to another to estimate the speed of sound and get real-time image of the speed of sound. Another possible application would be volumetric imaging, because the limited diffraction beams have one limited diffraction beam we derived recently have this property. It can produce multiple beams simultaneously, which is in parallel with each other. And then when you have a parallel beamform in the receive side, you will be able to dynamic focus along each transmitting beam and get volumetric images of the object. Now discussion, we will discuss about the silos and then and other issues. From above the application we see limited diffraction beam is very interesting. And we want to develop a more limited diffraction beam. So we have recently developed a method called a variable substitution method, which can convert any non-diffracting solutions to the wave equation and convert them with very simple substitution of variables to to limited diffraction beams. This increased our ability to discover new limited diffraction beams. And another method is called the limited diffraction base function. We can have a model of the beam. We want the beam to have this shape. And then we put this beam to see if it can be approximated with the limited diffraction base function with the superposition and access the difference between the your desired mode, model and the thing given by the superposition of this base function. And the criteria for this design will be using like a minimum norm least square estimation, this square error. And also we will be able to steer limited diffraction beams with a 2D array, as people discussed. Now the technology is towards from 1D array to 1.5 array and towards 2D array. And this array developed, then it can also be used to steer the limited diffraction beams. Although limited diffraction beams have many advantages and could have many applications, it has limitations. It has high silo. The silo is much larger than the conventional focused beams at their focus. And a high silo will lower contrast in imaging. Fortunately, we have developed several different methods to reduce the silos. First is called a multi-limited diffraction beams that can reduce silos dramatically. And second is called a summation subtraction method and a wideband localized way. Use dynamically focused reception while use limited diffraction beam transmission. Combine these two technology can get a lower silos. And also one can employ the deconvolution because limited diffraction beam have a larger depth of field, it means have depth independent point spread function. It's easier to develop a deconvolution method to improve the image quality produced by such kinds of beams. Now here's the experimental result of multi-limited diffraction beam to see how it reduced the silos. This solid line, this one, is produced by the experiment. And this line is an originally limited diffraction beam without using the technique of multi-limited diffraction beam. Then it will have silo, pulse echo silo around 40 dB here. And then after this technique with the multi-limited diffraction beam, will be able, theoretically, will be reduced to 100 minus 130 dB, but in our experiment, we have a lot of noise and et cetera, so we cannot reach that low silo. And here, this noisy line is obtained from the really some of the integration with the computer. Because the computer program cannot handle that low silo, that just has computation error, so we get a noisy bump here. And the silo is about 80 dB, minus 80 dB here. And these four different panels just to show this beam profile at a different angle. At azimuth or angle, that is 0 degree 15, and degree 30 and 45 degree. The angle just around the axis of the beam. So we can see the silo are reduced most at the angle of 0 degree, and the less silo reduction at an angle of 45 degrees. But theoretically, it has the potential to reduce silo in many different angles. with the limited fraction beam we have seen, it has a large depth of field. And their side lobes could be reduced. And also they have potential applications in both medical and non-medical areas. Last, I would like to mention that these people have participated in the project of limited diffraction beam. That's all. Thank you for attention.
Do you have any questions? What is the smallest beam rate you have? Circular.
The beam rates can be as small as one wavelength, but in this case, it's about four wavelengths. With four wavelengths, beam widths have a depth of field over 200 millimeters. That depth of field extends from right from the surface of transducer to up to 220 millimeters.
What type of bandwidth do you require?
It works for both narrow band and the wide band case. We have shown the pulse and as well as the CW case for the Bessel beam. That graph shows you the case. Right, that's derived from the wave equation. It's a theoretically derived.
So you come up with a
right, we first solve the equation and get a solution and then go back to the experiment to verify it. The loop sensitivity, I think it depends on the transducer sensitivity. And because the limited diffraction beam won't change the intensity as it propagates, so it keeps the same intensity. So in very large depths, like 256 millimeters, conventional focus beam will not do a very good job there also, because it's a very large F number. And in that case, it's a comparable beam strength at that depth.
Have you looked at the effect of the homogeneous media deformation in the beam?
Yeah, we have tried this beam in homogeneous media, but we didn't see any specific deterioration for limited diffraction beam as compared to conventional focused beam.
Why couldn't
the
beam speak
the sound? Excuse me?
How could it speak the sound vision?
Well, it's because limited diffraction beam, it has large depth of field. That means it will keep the same beam width as it propagated to infinite distance. So you know the distance between the beams. But if you have another pulse, which is propagating in scattering media, as it propagates, the scatter will scatter the pulse back into the transducer. So you will receive the signal modulated by this it's called a spatial modulation, superposed on the carrier frequency. And then from this measured signal, you know the time spent with this pulse propagated from layer to layer. And then you also know the distance between your beam. So you will know the speed of sound.
Is the ball shape, the human shape, wide band transmission. That's the cause to remain in state of the change from point to point on that.
You mean the limited diffraction beam or conventional beam?
Limited diffraction.
Limited diffraction beam will keep the same pulse rate as you can see from the wave solution to the wave equation. It's just equal to z minus c1t. That means propagation term, you can keep it a constant. You will see the same wave pattern.
Okay, I'd like to maybe get together after this. I'd like to thank all the speakers this morning.